home this morning. Yeah. Absolutely, totally blessed. I think that, you know, to be able to use the gifts and the abilities that God's given us is just so special for our body. So I think we'll get that printed out and available for those that would really like it. What I love about it was it just lifted us last week. And then when I Steph read it again today, just in church, it made me realise that it was actually tied in. And I thought the whole picture of what God's going to say for us this morning. So, today we're going to be learning, again, like Jim said, we're at the beginning of the Romans, so it's the beginning of house church preparation for us, but for us as a church as well. So let's just pray, shall we? Jesus, in this place you are present. In this place we are a church. So Lord, as we read about how Paul wrote to this church in Rome, help us to realise that he's writing to us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay. Summer school today? Like to go out to summer school? Before you go, Cynthia, be blessed to have a wonderful time at summer school. And we, Abby, your children, would they be brave enough to go to summer school today? Welcome, Abby. Nice to see you back here. So the background to Romans is that Paul is writing to, obviously, the Roman church. And the books say that they believe he was in Corinth at the time on his third missionary journey. So the book was scribed according to AD 56, 57 is when it would have been written. So 30, 40 years after Christ has left, 20 years after Christ. He wrote it in Corinth while staying at a Christian friend's house. And he wrote it because he was concerned and he'd been praying about going to Rome for quite a period of time but not been able to get there. And in fact, no apostle at this stage has actually been recorded as arriving in Rome. And the common belief was that the Roman house churches had been established by Christians that had been converted at Pentecost and then returned to Rome. And in that statement, that blows you away for a start off, because they were gathered at Pentecost, converted by Pentecost, and then went back to Rome to establish churches. What amazing power of the Holy Spirit that would have been. And they would have been Jewish converts initially, but they now included Gentiles. Because Paul had not visited Rome, he felt it was really important now to start to provide some teaching to the Roman church. If he had visited this church, we would not have had Romans, and Romans is such a significant letter in the New Testament. It's been described as a premium document of Christian theology, and its importance throughout church history has been critical. I was looking up in the bookshop the other day, books on Romans, and their influence on Luther, the influence on Calvin, the influence on famous Christians throughout the years was by Romans. It's been a very important letter. It was so well received by the church at the time that it actually survived the persecution of AD 64 and then in AD 96 it's actually quoted again by a Roman leader as he's written to other churches. Copies were discovered in other places throughout the Mediterranean and the belief is that Paul sent this letter to other churches as well because it was such an important letter. The letters that were found were minus personal greetings to Rome. So they would have been sent and rewritten to be sent out. Romans has been divided into two sections, so it's not a difficult book to get a handle on. Romans 1, chapters 1 to 11, chapter 1 to 11, has been described as to what we should believe. But other commentaries say that they call it the gospel according to Paul, which I think is a lovely way to remember it. Romans 12 to 16 have been described as how to behave. So Romans 1 to 11, what to believe. Romans 12 to 16, how to behave. Or the Christian way of life. So you see how significant this book is. Today our passage is the greeting in the beginning, Romans 1, Romans 12. Now I've asked you to bring your own Bibles because I want you now to read Romans 1, verses 1 to 7. I could prattle, but God really will show you from his word. Now, Joe has two slides from the message for those that haven't got a Bible today. So those that haven't got a Bible, the message, she's got verse 1, and then the next section verses 2 to 6 so that she'll put up. So, and read them, think about them. Now, what we're doing is a wee bit different, because as you read this, you are preparing yourself to worship. All right? As you read this passage from Romans 1:1-7, allow God to speak into your mind, into your spirit, so that when Steve comes and we go into worship, you are prepared to acknowledge the God that Paul is writing about and worship him. Thanks, Joey. Let's return to Romans. Romans 1, verses 1 to 12 again. So, as you've just read in verse 1, when, like Jim talked about this morning, and Jim and I hadn't talked about the service this morning when he talked about Philippians, that he'd be the same opening section from Philippians. First of all, in verse 1, Paul established his position. It's very important when you write a letter in those days to actually commence your letter by giving your vocation and your credentials, so your letter had authority. So Paul establishes his position. Interesting position? A devoted slave. Chosen to be an apostle and to preach the good news. It's a very simple position, isn't it? Slave, chosen to be an apostle and to preach the good news. In verses 2 to 4, Paul then proclaims the gospel. He has a complete picture of the good news. It's so important for us that we've got this complete picture. How wonderful this morning to hear Steph with her poem on the complete picture of our salvation too. And with strength, he writes his letter. We worship those strengths and those truths today. Thank you. Verse 5, Paul then describes his commission to tell what amazing God has, what God has done, so that the Gentiles might believe and obey. So, in verses 6 to 7, Paul then summarises, because of my position, which he established in verse 1, the gospel that he then proclaims in verses 2 to 4, and then his commission from God, he has the authority now to write to this Roman church and to be involved with them. This isn't a letter of a passive person. This is a person who is actively writing to a church to be involved with them. He knew who they were. He knew they were Gentiles. They are loved by God and called to be God's holy people. Therefore, Paul was already involved in his church, and how much he writes then, how much he desires to be part of this Roman church. So he's given us an introduction. In summary, Paul knows who he is, he knows his God, and he knows his calling. And because of this, he has a responsibility for the Roman church. Remember, Paul had never been to this church, and yet he knew what this church needed. They needed the gospel, clearly defined. They needed sound doctrine and challenging teaching on theology and Christian living. But as we continue reading, Paul's not writing a dry book as a theologian. He's writing as a slave of Christ, a fellow believer. He absolutely cared about this church. Joe, can we have slide 3 from the message? So we've moved on now to verses 8 to 12 in Romans. Paul writes first, I thank God through Jesus Christ for every one of you, all of you. Your faith is being talked about every time I hear about your church and about your people. I thank God. Paul is expressing a sincere thankfulness to God for each one of those members of that Roman church. He knows about them, he's heard about them, and he's rejoicing in thankfulness. Verse 9. Then Paul goes on, not only is he thankful, God knows how often I pray for you, as the message says, and God, who I so love to worship and serve by spreading the good news of his Son, the message, knows that every time I think about you in my prayers, which is practically all the time. So even though he never met them, he'd never been there, he was on a missionary journey hundreds of miles away, he was continually praying for the church in Rome. His knowledge about them led to him preaching, praying for them. He was involved with them and caring for them. No wonder then, in verses 10 to 12, Paul writes, "I'm aching to be with you. I want to be with you. I want to encourage you and strengthen you. I want to bring a spiritual gift," as other translations talk about, "to you in person, so that you will be encouraged and strengthened." We don't know which gift Paul was talking about, whether it was healing or prophecy or maybe perhaps his gift of teaching. But he wanted to bring it to the church. He wanted to offer it so he could provide spiritual encouragement to the church of Rome. The longer this goes on, the deeper the ache. This is the message. Verse 12 to Joe. And not only did he want to go and take a spiritual gift, he wanted to be with the people of Rome and receive from them as well. "You have as much to give me as I do to you." I just was blown away, actually. What incredible involvement and commitment. He didn't have texting, he didn't have Viber, he didn't have any way of really knowing about this church apart from the messengers that had come back. And yet he is, hundreds of miles away in Corinth, already involved with them, already committed to them. He wasn't being passive about it. He was actually really, really in love with the people in the church in Rome. Well, that was AD 56. What about AD 2016? How would we feel if we received a letter from a Christian apostle writing what Paul is offering? Jim would say, yes, yes, yes. And teaching, and wanting that level of involvement, would we be threatened by somebody with his caliber, because he's well known as an establishment, somebody's writing such powerful things? Would we be threatened by the fact that he's praying continuously for us? Or should it be that every believer in this church family should be able to write that letter to us? That I should be able to stand up here and read that letter from each one of you back to you? We're the same as Paul. We are slaves to the one who died for us. We've been set apart. We've been forgiven and chosen. So we actually are in the same position as Paul, first of all. We've been given the same proclamation, which is the good news of Jesus. Salvation, forgiveness, new life. That's the same message of the gospel that he had. And we have been given the same commission to tell everyone. So are we not the same as the Roman church? We're loved by God. We're called to be here today in grace and peace. Therefore, we should be like Paul, and we should be responding to our church family. And that should be our attitude towards our church family. The same as what Paul felt to the church in Rome. Anybody disagree with me? Paul wrote as he felt and acted, and I believe that's what we should be following as an example about how we feel towards each other. Because as a Waikeka and Lapdale Church, are we not thankful for every one of us?
Yeah.
When I was away from, unable to come to church for a period of time, I still could not go to another church because of the way I felt about the people in that church. You could not leave each other. We're committed to each other. This is our church family. And, you know, that's what Paul was focusing on. And we've had some tremendous focusing on thankfulness, haven't we, over the last couple of Sundays. Karen's sermon was just so encouraging, and Chris last week, he reminding us about being thankful. And Paul writes again, I repeat, I thank God through Jesus for every one of you. That's how he felt. Look around now. Right now, tell the person beside you, in front of you, around you, how thankful you are to God for them. You're allowed to. Are we not thankful? We've had some newcomers come in today, and I'm really thankful because Abby had a big part of being a part of my son Andy's life when he was at Blue Mountain. You know, it's the thankfulness that we contribute to each other's lives. Next, Paul prayed continually for the church. That's a challenge for us too, isn't it? That's our job as a church. Do you know, I often feel very sad because every week somebody goes up here waiting to be prayed for and nobody goes for prayer. I don't know how you feel, guys, but boy, do we really need prayer. We should be using the opportunity to receive prayer from each other. Being prayed for is quite a new concept for a lot of us because we're very personal, or Southerners or Presbyterians, and you don't get like that. But every week we've got an opportunity to go and be prayed for. Yeah, what does that mean? Why don't we receive it? You know, young people at camp, Camp Columba, like I said before, blow me away. They want to be prayed for everywhere. Don't they, Steph?
Pretty much.
Pretty much. When people come into the bookshop at Mana, most of them are just dying to be prayed for. They've come into Mana because they know that in this place they'll be prayed for. You know, that should be what we should feel when we come to our church. It doesn't mean that we don't have to express heart to heart, but just pray for me, you know, help, whatever it is. Just rejoice for me, even. It doesn't have to be heavy. The church would have rejoiced so much that they were being prayed for. Wow, let's us be like that too. Let's make the most of opportunities to minister and to pray for each other. And even if it's not just, you know, I just want to tell, give thanks today. Give thanks together. I have that in Mana. You know, it's wonderful how people want to be prayed for and to share and pray together. We can yet to each other, but how more effective is it when we pray together? And then the challenge.
Are you ready for the challenge?
The challenge is that Paul wanted to offer his spiritual gifts to provide spiritual encouragement to the church. We grow our spiritual gifts in service to each other. They are in there for service, for growth, to contribute. And Lynn, a couple of weeks ago, talked about us preaching on serving each other. I was thinking about the other day, I was thinking, God, why are we not seeing the gifts so much in our church as we used to? We went for a period of time where I felt like God was really pouring the gifts out on our church. Why has that kind of stopped? And I realised it was because we weren't using it. We have gifts in this church that are unbelievable. I have people, you know, one person came into the bookshop recently and she said, oh, your church, it is such a mission church. We are a mission church. We're going to look at that in a minute. It'll blow you away how this church is a mission church. But our spiritual gifts will not develop and not grow unless we're using them in the church. We keep them to ourselves. The gifts are there to encourage and strengthen each other. In this church, we've been given spiritual gifts. Praise the Lord, we've been given the gift of teaching. George, what a teacher. You know, I don't care if you're 86 or 87, George. I can listen to you teach me regularly. You are a teacher. We've been given 3 prophets that are not in this church and possibly more. You know, why aren't we allowing that to flow more for us? Because those prophets will grow our church and grow our vision. Healing. Well, we have the miracle worker in our church of healing. Glennis. Just so many times we hear of God using Glennis to heal. How wonderful it is. And what about our intercessors? How often are we using our intercessors to pray for us? I know Cynthia does, because she's often saying to Eleanor, pray for me for this exam, pray for me for this assignment. Just use your intercessors. Intercessors know and find the heart of God for us. You know what mine is? It's encouragement. That's why it's up here today. My gift of encouragement is so, you can't help it, it just flows out of you. And last year when God gave you individual words from my prayer times, how many of you have come back and said, give us more, give us more, give us more? He gives me so many more. But if you don't want them, they're not going to be used by the body and that is not going to grow. Administration. We have amazing gifts of administration in this church. Joe Gardine has been blessed with the gift of administration. You know what, don't we? We are so grateful for that gift from him. Joe, just acknowledge what it means to us. It really isn't something taken for granted. That administration gift enables our church to worship, to function every Sunday. Hospitality. Margaret Gardine, bringing us out for lunch today. Hospitality. Mercy, I believe God's given a young man in that church the gift of mercy, and it's going to be wonderful to see that develop. Pastoral, faith, service, knowledge, discernment. All this has been given to our church, and they'll only keep growing if we offer and use them in our body, in our family. If we're not used, they will be removed. They won't grow. They'll dry up. We'll dry up. How can we refuse to receive them and use them? This is no place for pride or any shame. There's nothing here. We are totally sinners. Get that right. You know, I've been reading Ragamuffin Gospel again. We are totally here by His grace. There's nothing that we have earned. No one is superior, no one is inferior. In His kingdom, we are equally dependent on His grace. So stop the deception that you're here because you've been good. You are here because Christ alone has taken away the old man and the new. So with nothing to lose, who cares if we stand up here and go, whoosh, whoosh, hump, whatever. Doesn't matter. We've got nothing to lose. We've already lost it. We've been given everything in Him. I know everyone in this room is full of the Holy Spirit and is in love with God. So I can say that because we have nothing to lose. We've already lost it. We are now His. We are restored and we are forgiven. Therefore, we can use our gifts. Therefore, we can be like Paul. We can rejoice in thankfulness all the time for each other. We can pray continually for each other. And we must always seek to strengthen and encourage each other through our spiritual gifts. God just delights in it. He absolutely delights in it. He delights in every single one of you. He absolutely adores every single one of you. He died for every single one of you. And He wants you to have that thankfulness in your hearts towards each other. He wants you to have that prayer constantly for each other. And He wants you to be using the gifts that He has given to spiritually encourage each other. That's what Paul wanted for that church in Rome that he had never met. We know each other. We need our body. We need our church family. We need to come together every Sunday to worship Him. But then in prayer and thanksgiving, encourage each other. And you wonder why we need it? Anybody got any doubts why we need it? Paul needed it. So I don't know how we can say we don't need it. The Roman church needed the support of Paul, his prayers, his gifting. So why do we need it? Well, Joe, do you want to put up that slide? Because this is what our church family is involved in, and I remembered an awful lot more. Why actually do we need prayer? Well, this is why we need prayer, because this small group of people in this room are actively living out the gospel in their lives and the love of God in all these groups. First of all, to their families. I mean, if we added in all our families, how many would we have? Margaret alone, how many grandchildren, great-grandchildren? We're living out a mission in that field. We're living out a mission in our neighbourhood. God has placed us in different communities, Mandeville, Gore, Napdale, Otama, Waikaka, and should be Moreno Downs up there too now. And then, this is what you're all involved in. Have you ever looked at what we do as a church? Individuals in this church. And there's so much I've missed out. I've missed out musical theatre, I've missed out the Gypsy Day parcels, I've missed out the involvement with the Angers and the societies, and Jeff's woodwork group. Why do we need to pray for each other? Well, if you don't know. I've missed out even our students. The involvements with our students, with Laura and with Kayla. You could go on and on and on because that's who you are. Don't think that we're a church that are insular. God has not called this church to be an insular church. So at times we may feel we don't connect. He has called us to be a mission church, and this is how we are being a mission church. But we can only do that if the core of us is being thankful for each other, praying for each other and using our spiritual gifts to encourage each other in all that we do. Because otherwise, we're going to feel isolated. And we must never feel isolated because we are the body of Christ and nobody's out there on their own. Okay. Well, let's take just a few minutes now quietly for intercessory prayer. Jim says, what are you doing for intercessory prayer? Well, there's your board. So quietly, just on your own, just have a period of silence. Use the slide. It's up there if you want to know what to pray for. If anybody's in doubt, pray for each other. Of that slide home, implanted in our hearts, so that we have prayers of intercession for our body and for the mission of this church. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Amen. So what's the message today? The same as it was in AD 56. As Paul greeted and related to the Roman Church, so should we to each other. Through his love and his grace, let us always give thanks for each other, pray continually for each other, and then encourage and strengthen each other, our family, by the use of our spiritual gifts. That will delight his heart. So I'll ask Steve if he'd like to come and lead the final hymn.
Jim, would you like to do the benediction?
Let us pray together this. Father, we thank you that you have been with us for this hour. We ask that you would go with us by your Holy Spirit now, and that your grace and your peace be with us forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.